Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, greetings, greetings. I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem coming on live for Sunday Class Roundup. Now we're going to talk about week three, a little bit of week four, and even more and more and more. I am teaching two amazing classes this fall for those who are just tuning in for the first time. My first class that I teach in the morning on Tuesday and Thursday, I teach both classes on the same day because I want to get it all together in one conversation, at least for me as my brain moves in between a whole lot. So let me tell you, the first class that I teach at 11:30 in the morning is called Mapping the World of, quote-unquote, Black Criminality, which is the longest running and the only course that I know of that bridges this conversation to look at the history of the policing of Black communities going from the slave trade through contemporary, but also looking at the social history of Black crime. So where we are now, week three within Mapping the World of, quote-unquote, Black Criminality, we have been watching for the past week, we have been watching that 1998 film, Beloved, that Toni Morrison, she understood, she researched and then went deeper to consider the memory and the future of memory after the 1856 case connected with Margaret Garner, who ended up killing her daughter, in fact, in order to save her from slavery. So she takes that story, puts it into a novel, that becomes a movie in 1998. Yours truly was actually still in college. So it's very interesting that now, decades later, I will be teaching this and really over the years, many films that came from the 90s and also came from when I was in undergraduate. I was an undergrad, I was in college, and little did I know that the future was going to have me a part of these conversations of not only slavery, but also, what? Slavery at sea. So we've been thinking about Black bodies policing within slavery as well as slavery at sea. So what does unruliness look like? What does it look like when a Black woman decides that the weapon therein becomes violence, taking the life of your child? But according to what will become a state, in the evolution of a nation, is really thinking about the quote-unquote destruction of property. So we've been visually looking at and how Danny Glover, as well as Oprah Winfrey and Thandie Newton and a host of many familiar faces, are reminding us of the haunting of slavery. What happens in the aftermath of violence? We can never know who may show up at our door. The ghosts of slavery are all around us. But, and this movie, in screening this film, I have been getting my students, hopefully, to get us to think about what does the haunting of slavery look like as someone, a family, a Black woman, her daughter, and also living with the death of other family members, how do you live a life, create your everyday, knowing the violence that was detonated decades before? And then what is the world of Black freedom look like even more in the aftermath of violence? So this has been quite revealing for me to be able to screen this film for students and then to think about the power of this visual, the power of the conversations, the silences, and even more through the settings, through, well, not just the sets themselves, but the movement of spirit even more at the center of the conversation. So next week, this week coming up, my students, they've been moved in between two groups that are going to begin to lead the conversation, to get us to think about, they're going to lead the conversation. What do we see? What do we read? What do we care about? What do we know? And how does it matter in the future of memory and even more the remembrance of slavery? So for me, it's been moving. We're going to be getting to even more. So within the Women in Crime course, I am piloting the first Women in Crime in the Evolution of American History course that I know of anywhere. And wow, Every time I go to class, it's a movement. It is a force of so many. And I got to be honest, a lot of women. Woo! Yes, a lot of women of many forms and variations are there, and they want to be there. They are there to learn. And right now, they are learning from Ann Butler in her classic book, Gender Justice in the American West. So by now, they have moved through the introduction and through chapter 4. But, and through it, I, too, have been humbled to have to think about how do you teach about the past when the future has a certain version that they really would prefer in the learning. So, scholars typically write books that tell you the history and then what has been the writing of the history and or the herstory that is being produced to help create a future of memory. But it's, again, very humbling to have students say halfway of, yeah, let's get to the good stuff. And the good stuff for them are the human interest stories. Who are the stories that we are anchoring to tell a bigger evolution in the making of, and also the unmaking of so much more? It is a whole new world of teaching and learning that I continue to willingly be confronted with to say, how do I teach the herstory of women and crime? And then what women, what girls, which ones do we include? Which ones do we exclude? Which is precisely why I assigned Dr. Butler's book, because she has done what I have now come to see as a deeper value in the need to bring together the herstories of many females, of many forms, of many racial backgrounds. And my students, they gravitate towards it. Every story, they get into it. They want more and more and more. And what is that telling me and what is that telling you? I hope that it, for those who are listening throughout all the multiverses, I really, really, really hope that it is telling you, empowering you, that in the teaching, in the empowering of the future about the past, we must make space for crime, the detonation of crime, violence, assault, robbery, fires, arsonists, all of it. The students, they want to know, and they want to go deeper. They want to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And so in reading further, they went deeper. Now, for both classes, again, every day has something different. Within the map in the world of quote-unquote black criminality, they're still finishing Beloved. Within the women in crime, we actually screened the first episode of Deadly Women. It's available for free on the internet for those who would love to experience, and my students know if you weren't there, you got to go look at it too. ID Discovery is a part of this whole Deadly Women. What I like about it, what I really value, is that within 45 minutes, we get the story of four women of many kinds. And within this particular opening episode, it was more about obsession. How far will a person, and more importantly, a woman go for her obsessive understanding, whether it is to poison, whether it is to, again, commit violence in some particular form, depending on how you define violence. And my students were with it. I will say also amid the commercials, which tell equally another story, that how do you keep your audience engaged as you are attempting to center women and girls in any conversation in history, but even more within American history. So that was interesting to look at commercials through Wyoming and the many drugs and vaccinations and, well, just the marketing of different products for the body. That said, on Wednesday, both classes, though, we took a break far from commercial, but very much more anchored within, well, one, their assignment, hands on the past, to delve into the past. Well, some might be thinking, well, what does that look like? For me, we've got to supplement, let's say that, supplement the conversation about Google as the only archive. For some, that's all other people will choose to access. But my students in both classes, they were all given case files. They got to choose. So within the criminality course, Meth in the World, quote-unquote, Black Criminality, I offered 5 cases. 2 students were assigned per case, and I simply offered, who wants to study death by way of a Black male, Black female, and dare I say, a Black child? So the students, they came, they looked, I said, be drawn where you need to go. And then they're going to go far beyond what you and a great many likely have been taught about, which is to take a case in history and herstory and baby story. It's not a story. It is a narrative of reality that death happens. Death is an archive that many death is a doorway, and death is also an archive. And so that now has been presented to the students, and all the students in that particular class, they took their case and they're, whoa! So they know that they're going to begin to question this who, what, when, where, and how. Who are the people at the center? What happened? Where does it happen? How does it happen? Why does it matter? And then even more, what does the mapping of it look like? In understanding spaces, the detonation of crime and violence and death. Again, death happens every day, every week, every month, every year, and every century. So they are being given an opportunity to think about death in the 19th century, and even more, what does it look like through the lens of policing, as well as through death itself. What does policing look like? Is it just the police? What about the medical world? What about someone who determines the mark of death and the final moments of death, but even more, in the determination of death? So this then will hopefully raise conversations about race, power, and the enduring legacy beyond death itself. How is death marked? How do we remember it? Do we care? What is the access point, and what is the revelation of American society in the making of a state, in the making of a nation, in the making of a globe? So within the Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History, these students, again, majority females, this could truly be its own documentary, podcast, all of it, because of the force and the movement we have going on. Those students, all of the class, they were also given out case files as well. This class, we have 15 case files that were given out. Again, roughly about 2 students. Some cases had 3, depending on if I was being nice, since I've now had to consider that some students cannot read cursive. Woo! Then I guess I can't give you the source because you don't know how to decode it. Woo! That should be a needle to the future to make us all give a damn about empowering on how to understand, decode, interpret, and read cursive. So I gave sources that lent themselves to an easier way of immersion. So every student in the Women in Crime in the Evolution of American History, they are also getting these case files to begin to ask questions of, what does this tell us about women or girls in the world of crime, whether criminal violence being detonated on the body of a woman or a girl, or also thinking about violence that is detonated by the hands of a female. So I have to add and or because, well, sometimes you have cases where a female dies and a female doesn't. So, hey, some people only understand the lens of violence through what men do to women. But this class and the variation of those who got cases will also be able to say, hey, What about those women who then take control against a man through the detonation of violence that leads to death? So through it, it's very interesting. We're getting homicidal violence through gun violence, through accidental violence of different forms, the death of children, the death of lovers, the death of strangers, and also the impulsive moments that then lead to a determination, a mark of death that can tell us so much more. I wish I was taking these classes when I was in college, and, oh, well, can't ask for it. It wasn't available. This is why I see the value to continue to come on every week, wherever that I am led, to come and empower the future. What happens when we begin to also take stock of what we're teaching, how we're teaching, what has come up, and what is really revealing about the future? For myself, I'm thinking about these spaces of crime. I'm thinking about race and the making of a world through crime. What does it look like? What do drugs look like? What are the unusual and the unexpected? And more importantly, where and how can we find archives? Who are the archives? What are the archives? Where is the value seen in and through death? Where this week is going to go with Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History and History, we are going to continue with Dr. Butler's book. We're going to finish the book. And on Tuesday, in fact, we're going to relaunch. Well, it was already ongoing. There's a whole lot of things before. But every Tuesday, my students in the Women in Crime class, they have to bring an article that they want to share about that is in line, in time with what we're reading. So that means that students will go and look at newspaper articles, only one that they will bring for the conversation. But, of course, they've already done their work, so there's already two other articles that they could bring into the conversation. But if we do have those last-minute, you know, empowerers, I know that they're going to go dig up the past and even more get their hands on the past to think about where and how can we see the world that we're reading about displayed within the world of newspapers, within the journalistic world of the past, of the American past at least. And I'm certain that some students may then, knowing that we have access through our databases at Washington University in St. Louis, let's think about, let's go look at some, hey, some Caribbean newspapers, some British newspapers, some African newspapers. What do the 1880s look like? What do the 1890s or even the 1870s look like? So as we are beginning to think about the American West, what is that? The American West is not Georgia. The American West is not New York. The American West, well, depends on who you ask. The Midwest, the American West, the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up, all of it, the rush for gold. People have different ideas of what it is. And my students are beginning to think about that not only through the lens of Arizona and Montana and all the other places within and beyond Missouri, but then it is also thinking about the place that students are learning within. So through these case files, they're getting an opportunity to think about the makings of Missouri history and, more importantly, Missouri's herstory. That includes, and always, hey, we all know death happens every century and every week and all of it. And what happens and where and how do the keys lie? What happens when we begin to unlock archives that for some are uncomfortable? These students, they want to know, let's go deep. So within the next week, you will hear me talking about how students begin to process reading a book by a woman of women, while also beginning to think about how a black woman would get us to think about a murder of one's child that another black woman would write, or I'm sorry, not write, but would detonate. Again, detonate seems to be the word today, within the world of slavery and more importantly within the so-called north of Cincinnati. So, whole lot of things are happening. I am doing what I do best. Again, I am the one and only Dr. Shawnee Musikeem coming on talk about my fall 2022 classes, both the Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History. You see, I want to say herstory because there's so many women and girls at the center, and that's what we're doing. We're using this class to begin to center the story, the narratives, and the evolution of women within the makings of a nation, and more importantly, within the makings of a state that often will always privilege the story of the man. But what happened when his story didn't matter, but her story does matter. Whoop, whoop, whoop. There we go. So then also within Mapping the World of Black Criminality, I got to let you know that 10-year-old Black Studies course that I developed, I had the nerve to say that when Trayvon Martin was unfortunately murdered, he was policed by the community within 2012 through his death, then we need to think about what does the policing of Black lives look like for now within the worlds of slavery at sea and also slavery, plantation slavery, but however, not our southern plantations. But let's go higher. Let's go much further up and think about regional variations. So here's just the beginning of so much more. Again, I am the one and only Dr. Shawande Mustakeem, and just coming on to empower us all about what does teaching look like? What does learning look like? How are students responding? These students in both classes, they want more. I wish that there could be a full year of all of this. However, this is me making sense between two classes of many worlds and the makings of so much of a global evolution. And then there is being attentive to the future of memory. Students want human interest stories. Maybe our books need to get shorter. Or maybe then we begin to learn how to teach in other ways that can empower the public as well as empowering those who are privileged to be able to afford a college education. So my goal is to go beyond the traditional confines of classrooms to say, and then I don't even use a podium. The whole thing, as my students will tell you, there is no sitting behind one another and hiding behind your ideas. No, no, no. Everybody's got to sit in a square, circle, whatever the room will accommodate, spaciously, of course. But also thinking about how can you look at your peers? Let's begin to see them. How and where do you begin to see and be in conversation and be, more importantly, at the table? So, hey, stay tuned for even more. Even more is coming from the world and from the evolution of the teaching and hopefully fostering, activating the future of memory of many things. Here we are in week 3 within the Women in Crime and the Evolution of American History and even more, the map in the world of Black criminality. So all right now, I'll talk to you soon. Of course, I will come and build and empower and take you to the higher level. So all right now, I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.